Welcome back. So glad you can join us today. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, a lot of people, when they read this verse, they focus on faith, but they forget to look at the rest of the verse in depth and see how faith comes. Yes, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but the middle part there between the hearing and the hearing is what this verse talks about. And it says, it is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is the precursor of faith. So let's look at what hope is. By definition, it is to wait for salvation with joy and full of confidence. It's a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. It's also a feeling of trust. Other words to describe hope are desire, ambition, aim, longing, yearning, or craving. This whole world is longing, craving, and hoping for something that is found in this world, but it cannot find it. The only way we can have hope, true hope, that lasts, is to hope in the Lord. Atheists will say there's no hope beyond this life, and others who worship other gods will say there's no hope in this life. But God, the true God, says there is hope both now in this life and into eternity. And that hope is through His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our redemption so we could be brought back into fellowship with God Almighty, our Father. But this world doesn't believe in hope. It hopes in itself that it can someday make it to wherever they're going, and they don't even know where they're going at times. But Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, "Hope deferred or drawn out makes the heart sick." This world may say, "Hey, there is hope, sometime, somewhere, eventually," but God promises hope now. God Himself said in Psalms 46 verse 1 that He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help does not mean eventually, sometime in this life down the road, or maybe in heaven. It means present, now, and that can give us hope. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Jesus said in Luke 18 verse 30, "In the world to come we'll have everlasting life." And in John chapter 14, Jesus also said, "I go to prepare a place for you." This is why we must look to God and to His Son Jesus Christ, because they both promised as one that we will have help now and later. So I can't understand why anybody would hope in this world alone and see that they can be happy forever. You just can't. I've placed my hope in the world before and it's always let me down. But every time I place my hope in God, He never let me down. Not one single time. All of the things of this world are going to burn with fire in the end. Nothing here can be sent with us into eternity. So it's evident that we cannot place our hope in anything that we can gain on this earth. Now that has to do with the tangible things of this earth. What about the intangible things, like pride, lust, and envy? Well, in the world to come, they're going to bow the knee to God. It doesn't matter how famous you were on this earth, nor how much money you had or possessions. Everything in this life that came from the evil one will have to bow its knee in eternity at the feet of the Lord. So why not put our hope in something or someone that is going to be a guaranteed win-win situation? That's what God has promised. As a matter of fact, God even swore by Himself because He couldn't find anyone greater to swear by. He has sworn that He would keep His own promises. And He does. I can testify to the fact that every time I put my hope in the Lord and waited for Him to act, He's always come through. He's always given me everything He's promised to me. It may not be exactly when I thought I'd get it, but I did get it in the right time, His time. We can have hope in God, but then if we don't trust His timing, then we will not receive what He's promised to us. Two scriptures point this out. Lamentations 3 verse 26 says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation or deliverance or help from the Lord." The other scripture is Romans 8 verse 25. In it, it says, "If we hope for something that we do not see yet, then we will wait patiently for it. Patience can definitely be a virtue. It can be a strength, but we have to exercise it. We cannot give in to impatience when we are hoping for something from the Lord. The Lord will give it to us when we need it the most. He will not delay, but He also will not give it to us too soon, otherwise we would not be ready for it. He knows the perfect timing, so patience is definitely something that you need to have in times of hope. And hope is what you need to have in order to have faith. And faith can see you all the way through to what God has promised to you. Okay, let's look at a few scriptures that tell us what hope does for us. In Psalm 16, verses 8 through 9, it says, "My flesh also shall rest in hope." Have you noticed that whenever you're hoping in the Lord and you're confident that He's going to give you what you need, that your body seems more relaxed? You're not so tensed up? Well, that's because you have this confidence that God's strength is greater than your strength, and His knowledge is better than your knowledge. So therefore, we do not have to worry about anything. We know that God's got our back. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God keeps all of his promises. I may say this several times, but I've got to emphasize it. God gives us hope because he keeps his word. Always. In this world, we've got lots of people who can't keep their word. Sometimes we may not keep our own word to someone else, but we can always rely on God. Let's move on to another scripture. Psalms 31 verse 24 says, "Be of good courage, and God shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Not only did it say that my flesh shall rest in his hope, but it also says that God shall strengthen your heart when you hope in him. Thank the Lord for him strengthening us inside as well as outside. Because that's where the battle is, inside of us. The battlefield is the mind. It is our soul. Our mind, our will, and our emotion are constantly under attack these days by the forces of evil in this present world. Since we know that God can help us in our flesh and in our spirit, well, we can look at Psalms 42 and say that God can help us in our soul too. As a matter of fact, Psalms 42 and 43 were thought to be originally one psalm, but it was divided later on. But looking at Psalms 42 verse 5 and 11 and Psalms 43 verse 5, they basically say the same thing, and this is directed toward the soul. These verses say, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted or in a turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance, and I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." So hope in God helps your soul too. So here you have it. Three different types of verses. One for the spirit, one for the soul, one for the body. God is hope for all three parts of us. We are a spirit. We have a soul consisting of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we live in this earthly body. Now, if we can have hope in all three parts of us, now we can have hope throughout all eternity. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "As in heaven, so on earth." So whatever God has promised that we will have in heaven, we can have some of that on this earth too. Maybe not in its fullness, but we can have hope in God, and that hope can develop into faith in God and be solid. Our hope does not have to be shaken. In Jeremiah 17, verse 17, he says, "You, God, are my hope in the day of evil." No matter how much evil the devil throws at you, hope in God will always be stronger. "Greater is he who is in you," 1 John 4, 4 says, "than he who is in the world." Greater is he who is inside of you than the devil who's in the whole world. Hope in God always triumphs. But you must keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your hope in him. In Colossians chapter 1, it says that we should not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which we have heard, so that Christ Jesus can present us holy, faultless, and blameless before the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the hope of salvation." What does the helmet of our hope of salvation protect? It protects the mind. Hebrews 6:19 says, "Hope is as an anchor, a reliable support of the soul. The devil knows if he can get you to take your helmet of hope off, then he can attack your mind. But we can keep our helmet on by always hoping in the Lord. How do we get this hope in the Lord? Romans 15 verse 4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The scriptures do so much to help us in our daily walk. We should never let them slip out of our mind. Otherwise, by doing that, we are taking our helmet of hope off our head. Psalm 119 verse 49 says, remember, Lord, the word unto your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. Psalm 119 verse 81 says, my soul fainteth for your salvation, but I hope in your word. God's word gives us such hope, something that the world, through all of its words, cannot. We may be inspired sometimes by words that we hear on this earth, but that only goes so far. They cannot help us like the word of God helps us. Jesus said in John 6:63 that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hope in God can only be present when his word is present within us. His word will enliven our soul and give us more strength for the journey ahead. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13. These things remain, it says, faith, hope, and love, which is agape love, God's love for us. But the greatest of these is agape love. Notice that hope is in the middle between faith and love. This is not coincidental. This is on purpose. Faith is a giant of a word, and so is love. So why is hope between these two giant of words? Because it is a giant of a word too. Hope can make the difference in a person's life. Many times in the past when I thought depression would do me in, I started to get hope in God through his word. And that hope that came from his word was like a light shining in a dark place. It suddenly became brighter. It's like Psalms 119, I believe it's 105, that says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Things became brighter for me and I started to see where I'm heading and where I need to go. God gave me hope. So hope is not a weak word. It is a strong word. Now, of course, it says in that verse that the greatest of these is love. So then because love is the greatest of the three, does that diminish the importance of hope? Not at all. Faith and hope are important. They are intertwined. To have one, you've got to have the other. So the important thing is love, but you also have to have hope and faith. I've never seen anybody have love but not have hope and faith. If you're having trouble with hope and faith, check your love. Make sure that you're walking in the love of God so that you can have hope and have faith. And may I leave you today with this scripture, Romans 15, verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound, you may exceedingly increase in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help those who don't have any hope. Give them your word. Remind them of your promises that you've made to them. Let them know that you're still on your throne and you're just as powerful now as you were back then, and you want to give them good things. It is the desire and the craving of your heart to give them hope, which can develop into faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please you. Lord, thank you so much for doing this. I pray that people will be encouraged by this word today, which is echoing what you said. And Lord, I thank you that you're doing great things in the lives of people right now. I thank you that their hope is increasing, and I thank you that you're encouraging them every day. While this world is screaming no hope, you're always saying there's hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.